We're in Mark chapter 9 this evening. We are going to learn how to perform a exorcism. And so, hopefully you never have a need for that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Bible says here, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" Let's go, Lord, in prayer as we get started the message this evening. Father, we are thankful to be here tonight. Lord, thankful for each one that's come. Lord, I pray that you might meet with us now. Pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, would you lead, guide, and direct according to your will. And Lord, we'll be careful to thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So have you ever been in a situation where you just didn't know what to say? You know, I mean, you just, maybe somebody says something and you're like, okay. You know, sometimes it's, you know, people say things that really kind of make us blush a little bit. You're like, I don't know how to get out of it. You know, sometimes you'll see something or something will happen and you just don't know what to say. You know, some people find themselves in that situation more often than others. And Peter was one of those. Peter was one of those. Look up here in verse 2. Look up here in verse 2. The Bible says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into the high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid." So, we ain't going nowhere without, well, that's still going. I just know how they go. We just pause and praise the Lord a little bit. Think about that. Isn't it easy how stuff just like, you just can't let it go. It's like, what's that going on over there? It's like, are we burning up here? You know, that's the situation. You know, the early church was really at a disadvantage. They're really at a disadvantage. This stuff that was going on, that they were seeing, I'm talking about here, you know, the apostles and this thing was going on. They didn't know what was going on. Everything was brand new to them. The plan, the purpose, the direction, all of this was everything that they thought was the case and was the case in the Old Testament was beginning to, Jesus himself was beginning to transform some of that stuff, really get to the heart of what the Old Testament was talking about. And not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of it. And it's beginning to deal with this. But they didn't have what we have, which is their mistakes to read about. Aren't you glad for that, right? Man, sometimes it's, you're thinking, you know, to be the first guy, hey, why don't you go first? I like being like at least the third, you know, because the first guy's going to blow it, the second guy's going to blow it in a different way, and then you can at least, you know, be the third knucklehead, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. So they had this, you know, there was there, and this They're with Jesus and these, you know, this comes and they see these things, and Moses and Elijah are there, and they're like, this is good. This is good. Let's build tabernacles for all of you. Three of them. This is good. And he's like, he didn't know what to say. You know what's good to say when you don't know what to say? Nothing. And that would have been better for Peter. So I want to look here at the opportunity of the other nine. Look at verse 14. Again, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. So the three kind of blew it. They were there. And maybe when we say the three, probably we usually are speaking about Peter. You know, I hate it that I sometimes identify with Peter. I feel like there's times that I suggest and don't. You know what I mean? I should just like wait and think it through. And Peter was always one to get it out. So the three kind of blew it. So what about the other nine? What's going on there? So the Lord finds the other nine being surrounded by the scribes. So there's obviously a crowd of them there. And I'm not really sure what the Lord's demeanor was, to be honest. Sometimes I kind of imagine things. You know what I mean? How the Lord... I tend to think that... It is as I would imagine myself coming upon these situations. Now what? Right? I kind of imagine the Lord saying that to the apostles a lot. Now what they get themselves? how often must the Lord shake his head at how we deal with the issues of life? Oh, there they go again. I mean, listen, I feel like sometimes my goal is just to reduce those occasions for the Lord. You know? I mean, as if the Lord would nod like, all right, he didn't blow it this time. You know, I feel like sometimes that's, you know, I don't know. Listen, I know the Lord knows the beginning from the end. I know he knows. It's not like, wow, he did that. No, he knows. I'm just kind of getting off the bus a little bit. You know what I mean? And just kind of thinking through some of the things that we see here. Nothing takes the Lord by surprise. But here's the thing. The good news is that there was, is that the Lord Jesus Christ was there to bail them out of their situation. It'd be pretty great to hang out with Jesus, right? And when you and I constantly are making mistakes, right? And he's there right away to say, hey, you made a mistake and let me fix it for you. And then the other times you're walking and you kind of argue, man, I'm better than you. No, I'm better. I'm the greatest. And, you know, and all of a sudden the Lord said, hey, what was that y'all were arguing about? You're like, he heard us. You're like, no, he just knows. I mean, that's so part of it would be pretty neat. Part of it would be absolutely terrifying. You know, the whole time you're like, think pure thoughts. Think pure thoughts. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, he is still. He is still walking with us, maybe not in the flesh. The good news, he's there to bail them out of that situation, and he'll be there to help us as well. Look at verse 16, though. Verse 16, and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? I love it when Jesus steps in. Like, I don't think he really did this, but I kind of just imagine he bows his chest up. What's going on here? You know what I mean? Kind of like your dad. You know, just kind of like, yep, what are you doing? Let's go. You know, what are you questioning with them? And there's this thing going on. The scribes didn't really like tangling with the Lord, right? It didn't really work out for them, right? Because he's always right. Pick a different enemy. You know, I'd like to debate Jesus on national television. You know what I mean? That's just so they didn't like debating with the Lord. They didn't like getting in this. They always ended up retreating with their tail between their legs, you know, like a wounded dog. They said, we're not doing that again. You know, that's kind of how that went. So when he asked the question, what's going on? They didn't jump up to give the answer. But we find here, verse 17, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. So we come now to the real issue at hand here. What's going on? There was this man needed an answer for his son. I find that there are very few scenarios that cause one to come to Jesus more than the desire to see your child relieved from their pain. I mean, parents will get serious when their child is hurt, got a challenge, got difficulty. I mean, all of a sudden, we are graveling at the feet of Jesus. You understand? Because all of a sudden, you know, when dad realizes, I can't do anything to fix this, I can't help this thing, and all of a sudden, we find this. It's a very amazing thing. When it takes us out of control, listen, so many people will come to the Lord in their time of that kind of need. And it might be in reality that when this daddy saw the Savior coming, he ran to the front of the crowd to get in. It might be what's going on here. And he said, let me get up there. That's who I'm trying to get to Jesus. See, he was the only one that was truly ready to get to the Savior. He was ready. So we find then the frustration of failure. Frustration of failure. You look at verse 18 now. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. You know, I like things to work out exactly how I wanted them to work out every single time. That's how I want it. That's how I want it. I want things to go and be exactly what I want every single time. I got a plan. I'm a scheduler. You know, I'm on a schedule. We're going to go on a vacation. When we go on a vacation, I'm scheduling every activity. Where we're going to go, we're going to go do this, and when we're done doing that, that will give us 30 minutes to get here. I got it mapped out. You know what I'm saying? I got this thing, and then we're going to be here. We're going to spend, you know, an hour and a half here. And I've got fun scheduled. And so when we're done with this phone, it's like I used to do this to my girls. And I said, come on. Okay, we're done having fun here. We're going to go. And they're like, oh, Daddy, we're having fun. I said, no, we're done here. We got to get to the other place because there's a thing going on. And you know, it'd be funny. I mean, in hindsight, it's funny. At the time, I was an idiot, but I didn't realize it, you know. And this thing, we go, I like it when things, go exactly the way I planned and intended. I like that kind of, I don't want any issues. You know, no canceled flights. That almost doesn't exist anymore. Remember when, like, you bought a ticket, it was this time and this time, and that's what time you went, and that's what time you landed. That was it. Now, you just know this is about. It took us 4.5 hours for this two-hour flight here. Yeah, it was pretty neat. I don't like late starts. You know what I mean? I don't like missing parts. You ever done that? Try to put something together, and they sent you this whole thing except for the thing you really need to put it together? That's fun. I want the best deal. So when I decide to buy something, I'll look at all the places. I'll look online. I'll go look at this place. Okay, there's that. There's that price. Okay, that's a good price. But let me make sure I check everywhere, because I don't want to get this deal when I could have got a better deal. You know what I mean? I'm looking, and then, you know, I'll spend like 3 weeks. I don't know, but you look, and then finally you're like, yeah, that was a good deal. Oh, now the price has changed. I got to I just want to get a good, you know, some. You know, I like to have the nicest waitress at the restaurant. That's what I want. You know, I want to have the friendliest service. Listen, I want my life to be a bed of roses. Things don't always go the way I want. And often they don't. there's kinks in the road. You know, there's these bumps in the road. Listen. Here's a dad whose son was in a world of suffering to the point of death. He likely had sought answers for years. None of them were the solution. I tell you, sometimes there's things that come up in our life that consume us. Do you know what I mean? A challenge, a difficulty. a burden, a thing, whatever it is in our life. Sometimes it's physical, and sometimes it's just whatever the situation. But it begins to consume us, and almost we are like blinded by it, and it goes, and we want this thing accomplished. We want to be able to get this thing fixed, and we try to find. We ask God, would you fix this for me? And it seems like there's no answer. You keep looking and try to find. And you ever been in that place where you say, God, I want to do whatever you want me to do? And you ask God this thing, and it feels like I don't even know. And so you're like, should I keep doing the thing? And you know what I mean? You just kind of... And there's no doubt this sought many answers through the years, but none of them fixed it. And now it comes to the Lord's disciples. I mean, listen, these are the fellows that had been doing this work in the lives of others. What an exciting thing. You mean there's people doing it? Yeah, these guys are doing that. I see them, they're going, there's two at a time in different places, and they're actually doing this thing, and maybe that dad got a little excited, maybe some hope. And listen, no doubt there was a glimmer of hope. The answer he was looking for, salvation, if you would, for his child. He got there, found them. They're all there. Maybe some were there and others came. But they could not. It's a very difficult, challenging thing when we want God to give us an answer and we don't get one. Right? And we're like, "What? How do we go on from this, Lord? What do we do?" And he deals with this thing. No doubt this frustration was no doubt among the apostles as well. We should be able to do this. We should be able to do this. But then it gets worse. Look at verse 19 with me now. And he, talking about Jesus, answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. So, now let me just say this. There's certainly enough debate about who exactly the Lord was speaking to here. There's you could read four different people and get four different answers. I'm just saying this, you know. But there's some choices. Maybe was he speaking to the dad, to the disciples, or to the apostles there, to the scribes, or to the multitude, and many have different ideas. I tend to believe it was directed to the ones that were given the task to perform such things. Look with me back in Mark here, chapter 6. Mark in chapter 6 and verse 7, we're going to see a little bit of background here of what was going on. In Mark 6, verse 7, he says, and he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth two and by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into the house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So the Lord's given them this instruction. He's given them the power. He's going to enable them, tell them what they're going to do. Gives them like, hey, here's going to be the situation. Here's what you take. I love those kind of instructions. I do. Tell me exactly what to do, how to do it. I love that. See, that's why the Air Force really worked well for me. We have regulations. I had the job I did, I worked in my first duty assignment was moving property, and we had certain ways. And because of where the area, we worked with high dollar repairable items. And so the base commander would come in and say, what's going on with this? And he'd come over. I can remember one time this full bird colonel walked into my, here I'm like a one-stripe airman at the time. This forward colonel comes in and says, "Airman, you need to do this." And I'm thinking, I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "As long as I can put your name on it, because it's not the way the regs say to do it." So, "Is it all right to put your name on that, sir?" And he said, "Well, go ahead and do it the way the regs said." I'd love that. I love that. I'm like, "Yeah, buddy." No, I was, you know, I was a one-stripe airman, so I was a kid. But I thought, wow, you know, I love the book. You know what I mean? I love the book. It tells us what we do, what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to do it. Listen, because we got a lot of stuff that makes sense up here, but it's just not what God said. And so we got to get off of this into this, and then we have it. So the Lord's telling them exactly what to do, where to go, how to do this thing. And then verse 12 we see here, and they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Listen, these men were given the power over these things, and they had already done the work before. You see what's going on here? But now they could not. And the Lord wasn't satisfied with them. Though the Lord can, though He Himself can, and would resolve this problem, it was meant to be their ministry. Let that sink in just for a moment. It was meant to be their ministry. He gave them. He gave them the authority, gave them the power, gave them the instruction, told them what to do, and they did it. But now we come to this place, and the Lord was disappointed with them, not satisfied with them. He had given them the power so they could do this thing, but they could not. Listen, it was not so that He could follow up behind them and do it Himself. That's not what I'm going to come back and visit that thought in a moment. But I want to talk to the next point is this, the possibility of belief. Back in chapter 9, we're going to find something here. Back in chapter 9, in verse 20, they brought him unto him, all these pronouns get a little confusing. You got to really parse this out. You know what I'm saying? You got to be somewhat of an English, you know, where you kind of do those lines and things and this, you know, sometimes you have to do that. So he goes here and he says, and they brought him, that's the boy, unto him, that's Jesus. And when he, which is Jesus, saw him, which was the boy, straightway the spirit tear him, which was the boy, and he, the boy, fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Isn't that fun? We can't even understand this thing, can we? You know, that's what they say. How do we even understand the Bible? Well, we just think. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? We don't really need to. But here's what's going on. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. In verse 21, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This is often our approach to the Lord. We have this need, whether it's great or small. We search out, how can I fix it? How can I remove it? How can I heal it? How can I overcome it? This situation with this boy was not recent. It says from a child and suggesting it was quite a period of time. We don't know how, but it's from a child. So obviously he wasn't a child anymore. So it was some period of time. So now after all that had been previously tried, he would come to Jesus. It's kind of what we do, isn't it? I mean, not you, but other people. We'll do this, me and some other people that, you know what I mean? I don't want to, because I don't know you yet. Later on, be like, you know, no, anyhow. So
You know, what happened, what we do a lot of times, and I mentioned that this morning already because it's a common theme in the Bible, is we want to fix it ourselves, want to get there. And listen, we're just like the rest of the folks in the Bible, right? They weren't special. They were just chosen for this thing. And we get to look at their mistakes. And we're preaching about them. And so we can hopefully try to make less of them. You know, there's a bunch of other mistakes they made they didn't write about. You know, Mark was like, I write that. No, I'm just kidding. So we find this thing that's going on, and they tried these things, and now he came to Jesus. Maybe he learned, you know, I don't know, but it's, you know, maybe he just heard, maybe he didn't know. But either way, now he'd come to Jesus, but his coming to the Lord was riddled with doubt. It was in the vein of this. If you can do anything, I don't know. But if there's anything you can do about it. Yeah. Imagine coming to the Lord with this obvious misunderstanding of His power and ability. This was, at a minimum, a man that did not have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just saying he was simply asking for some compassionate help. Okay. So then there's this huge problem. Literally, a life-threatening, a continuous life-threatening issue for his son. My wife's brother has a kid he's autistic, and he's been, you know, and he's older, but when he was little, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 or 8, he would just run. I mean, just full on run. And, you know, we had a family picnic, and they're just like, you know, one of them is within arm reach all the time or on him, and the other one is, you know, you turn to talk to somebody, man, he's gone. It's like, are you doing this on purpose? You know, I don't know what was going on, but he would run. And they would, I mean, I'm talking about a full-on sprint they were after him to get him at times. And this is kind of, you know, but this is what was going on with this boy. He was being thrown into the fire, into the water. This was a life, a continued, can you imagine living like that? Can you even imagine that? And so then, all he asks from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is some help. We got this huge issue, and Lord, could you, if you can do anything, could you have compassion and help us? I don't know the whole tenure of all that. I think some other, what we're going to read back, it kind of gives us a little bit of an idea, but there was certainly something there that he comes with this idea that he's asking, if you could just help us a little bit on this thing. I'm thinking, wow, finally got to him. You finally get to the answer. You know, I hate the fact that sometimes that's exactly how I come to the Lord. I like it better when we're reading about other people's mistakes than realizing my own. You know what I mean? Not that I don't know His power, because I do know His power. I've seen His power and experienced His power in my life. But sometimes I can be so timid and my request that I'll barely ask the Lord to use His strength. Well, Lord, I just, you know, maybe there's this thing, and, you know, sometimes we can sometimes feel guilty to ask God to bless our life. We can get this kind of thing that I'm not sure that I really deserve this, so I don't even want to ask you. Imagine having a kid coming up and say, you know, I haven't ate for 3 days. Your own kid, you know, I haven't ate for 3 days, and I know you forgot about me, but could I just have a cracker? And a parent would be like, no. No. You know what I'm saying? It's sometimes that's how we're coming to the Lord. You're thinking, we become timid. We barely ask for His strength or His power or His ability on our half, and we kind of get this thing, God, if you could just, you know, do this thing. Listen, I'm telling you, I come, there can almost be this thinking that God might not do it for me. Who am I to ask Him? I don't know His will on this matter, so we end up hardly asking him. Man, I'll tell you, God wants us to ask him. Doesn't mean we always get our way. But he's waiting for us to come and see. I'm telling you, God's done some things in my life in recent days and things that happened. And I realized I was just doing this. I was doing this, really. God, would you, if it's your will, which maybe kind of, and I felt, you know what sometimes we can do? Get afraid to ask God for what we really want to ask him. Because, and I'll tell you, sometimes what happens, we're afraid to ask him because if he doesn't do it, we're afraid we're not going to trust him anymore. I hate that we have this flesh, you know? I wish you could just kill the old man and stay dead. But it doesn't work like that. So we, sometimes we'll just timidly ask for just some help. So the Lord's reply to this father's request, his request, if you can do anything, is really quite profound. Look at verse 23 with me. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The possibility of belief is astounding. It's astounding. I mean, you know, if there's some... You know, if I said to you, listen, if you'll just trust God, you can do anything. If I said that to you, like, that's preacher talk. You know what I mean? If I said, listen, you just got to just trust God, you can do anything. You'd be like, well, yeah, I know. You say that, preacher, because that's what preachers are supposed to say, right? You say that. But I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus says it, he literally told his dad, if you can believe, anything is possible. Anything means, like some things. Isn't that weird how we kind of want to do that? Anything. Jesus literally said, all things are possible. It's so much different than hoping it'll work out. Well, I hope it works out. You ever said that, right? Hope it works out for you. And we say that. It's kind of just a phraseology in English. Well, hope it works out. And that's okay. I'm not saying, well, don't ever say that again, you heathen. I'm not saying that. But sometimes that's kind of how we live our life. You know, God, I hope we could get this thing or that thing or, wishing that it would work. Right? You ever do that? You get your penny, your favorite penny, and put it in that well. Wish. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we'll do some of these kind of things, just thinking about it, and I just wonder, but not really expecting that God will do it for me. I'm afraid that's how we kind of live our Christian life often. We're afraid and we're timid and we come and we don't really... I'm just telling you what I'm thinking about this. I feel like a lot of times, and maybe I feel like this because I've been there. So afraid if I ask God for something he doesn't give it to me, then I'm not going to trust and ask him the next time. And I don't want God to lose face. Isn't that funny when you kind of like pour, lay it out? The Lord told this father that all things are possible to him that believeth, and the condition to receive from the Lord is now present. We find this out. Here's the condition. The Lord said, "You want it? If you believe, anything's possible." Look at verse 24 now. And straight away, the father of the child cried out. I'm just for a minute here. He cried out. I wonder if all of a sudden he's like, that's it. That's the answer. What an exciting thing. That's what I need. I don't know. Maybe I'm just saying maybe the father realized this is more than just wishing. There's an answer here. He cried out in verse 24 and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. What a wonderfully profound realization. When I say that, you're like, well, yeah, we know that. Obviously, we know, we know that if we believe, but sometimes we don't really grab that. You know what I mean?
it's kind of more theorized.
Yeah, if we believe God will do this thing, okay. I don't think that's what he's talking about here. Right? I don't think it's like, yeah, I can do that, sure. And I get that with folks a lot. You'll say, well, you know, yeah, I believe God can do that, but you know, maybe it's not his will. You know, we kind of give ourselves a back door. Do you know what I mean? Instead of coming to him with, listen, I'm not saying we strong arm God. You said whatever I want, you're going to give me. Well, that's not what he says anywhere, by the way. He said we can do anything by believing, and it's profound. What we are seeking from God, he's ready and willing to give us. It's so different from what we often think. This father was thrilled. He confessed, I believe. I can do that. Can I say right here, I'm not sure if this was a genuine, complete, real faith. You know, you ever see somebody, they'll come and they'll say, yeah, I believe. And you're like, nah, you didn't have the glimmer in your eye when you said that. You know what I mean? You didn't have that. You know, I didn't see you, you know. I've seen people come to the altar for salvation and just tears pouring out of their head. You know what I mean? They'll come and just pleading with God to save their soul. And that'd be the last time I ever see them in church. I've seen folks come up here and not a tear, not just get up, well, I just trusted Christ as my Savior today. I'm like, right. And become like a deacon. You're like, down the road, you're like, you know what I realize? I don't know the heart of man. I'm pretty good at getting it wrong. You know what I mean? I try to get out of that business because I don't know. And, you know, we let God, you know, let the time show that in their life. And it does. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's like, well, okay, this dad was in a bad situation. And he said, I believe, because he just wanted to get the answer from Jesus. Well, I'm not sure if that was a faith or a hope, hoping that what Jesus said was true, but it was enough. Look at verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. It was enough, wasn't it? Well, I don't know if that was real. Well, Nunya. You know what that means? You know, you say, you know, Nunya. You don't know that phrase? Nunya means Nunya business. I don't know where it comes from. It's like this. His kids would say, what are you talking about, Nunya? Oh, Nunya what? Nunya business. And so sometimes we want to figure people out. You know what I'm saying? Well, I wonder if it's genuine. I wonder if it's real. And I'm telling you, or we'll say stuff like this. It's because of their situation. They're just saying that. I'm telling you, folks, I've seen people both ways. I've seen people come to church for 3 weeks so they could find a bride. Right? And they get that bride and they, well, maybe a little bit longer than 3 weeks, you know, maybe a couple of years. And they get a bride, they leave and they never come back to church. I've seen guys come into church to find a bride, get saved, and become a preacher. I just don't, you know what I'm saying? I just don't know what, but I'm telling you here, what we find is it was enough, and God did something. Listen, I don't know if your faith is ever all that it should be. But when we will take the Lord at His word, believing Him, all things are possible. So you say, preacher, anything I want, I can get. Could I get me a brand new candy apple red Camaro? Now, I've never prayed for that, but I've kind of, you know. No, I'm not saying you get whatever you want. I'm talking about these things that are alive and God wants to get us through. I think the day that the Lord Jesus Christ helped this man with his unbelief. It says, I believe there's some unbelief there, and you know, help me in that thing. I believe that day, the Lord helped him with that unbelief. the day that that boy arose, and the demon was out of his soul, out of his life. God will do with us what we cannot do without Him. So the fourth thing then, if you're right, and I didn't tell you the other three, so if you guessed, you did good. The fourth thing is the power of prayer. So verse 28, and when he was come unto the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So the apostles failed in the opportunity to do the thing through faith. I'm sure it was humbling, confusing. Why couldn't we do it? I'm sure it's maybe even a little belittling. Came to them and they couldn't do it. Man, I would hate to be that guy that day, you know? And Jesus said, what's going on here? He said, well, your disciples couldn't do this thing. And Jesus said, this thing. But they wanted to know, why did we fail on this occasion? When we were successful on others. We find here what I think to be one of the more challenging statements in the Scriptures to discern. There's a lot of challenging ones. The Bible isn't always easy. It takes study. You know, there's some things that aren't just right out clear, but there's some things we could glean from this. Is this? He says, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. So, was this a special situation? Was this kind something different? Are there some things that we must fast for and other things that we just come to the Lord and stride? Right? I mean, they'd been doing this before, right? Casting out evil spirits before, but now this was different. Was there some kind of special thing? And what was the difference? And, you know, this thing, this could be a challenging one. You see what I'm saying? The problem for the apostles, just as it is for us, can be that we stop looking to the Lord as the one that's doing the work. See, when we've done something for a little bit, and God's used us to do something, we can begin to think that we're the ones doing it. And, you know, we find an aching in our life. You know, we find a place that we think, we did this. we got this one. Man, did you see what we just did back there in Jericho? We totaled that place. Right? We did. You know, we blew our trumpets and you know what I'm saying? And they're like, we got this next one in Achan. You know, we got this thing. And they were utterly defeated. Lost more in that little village than they, you know, in that little town. And I'm telling you, sometimes we can begin to think, I'm just saying, if we see it in the Bible, no reason, if they did it, no reason that we're not going to find ourselves in that same situation. There are two things here that the Lord said brings His power upon the work that we're attempting to do. The first one is prayer. The power of prayer is phenomenal. It's beyond what you could imagine could be accomplished. No, I mean that. You say, oh, I've seen it, brother. No, it's beyond what you could imagine. Prayer isn't just what you've already seen. It's beyond what you've seen. So I don't know if God can. Well, wait, no. Listen, prayer is the power of God pointed and directed to my need. That's what prayer does. It gets God's power pointed to me. You say, well, who do you think you are to turn hands to God? I'm just doing what God said we can do. Isn't that amazing? He wants us to do that, and He said we can do that, and we can do that. Hey, listen, He is the real superhero. Not us. Not cartoons, right? He is a real live superhero. I think that's demeaning to call him a superhero. Let me scratch that from the record back there. Listen, the second thing mentioned here by the Lord is fasting. Fasting above all things, that fasting is, there's other things involved, but above all things, it is a devotion, an absolute attention, not on me, but on Him. He said, listen, when you're fasting, don't mess yourself up so other people notice you. Right? Fasting is, above all things, it's not about me, it's about Him. Right? You see what I'm saying? It is primarily taking my time of personal consumption and making it a time devoted to seeking God's power on my need. So ultimately what Jesus is saying is that this kind of need, this kind of problem, this kind of desire is going to take a focus on the Lord. It's really this. Believing. You know, somehow sometimes we preach and you think, man, there's going to be something great tonight. Something, this preacher's going to give us something really interesting. And I go back to, you know what you need to do? Just believe. Like, oh. And we want it to kind of be a little more fancy, don't we? Wouldn't it be great if I said, listen, if you go on top of this mountain, pluck a leaf from that tree and go up there and make some tea out of it, drink that tea, then God be like, okay, where's that mountain, right? We like that stuff. But the fact is, God said, no, there's no mountain. The mountain is in your heart. Put your faith and trust in Him. Here's the conclusion tonight. The Lord has given us the power, the authority to do the work today. Look with me in Matthew 28. We're just about done. This will be the last scripture we turn to. Matthew 28. Verse 16. He says, and then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted, and Jesus came unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Listen, the power is the Lord's. Amen? You see that? The power is the Lord's. And He has given it to the church. I lied to you. One more verse. Acts chapter 1. Sorry. I'm a liar. But I did repent right there. I'm repenting of lying to you. And Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And He says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Listen, He has given it to us through His Holy Spirit. He's given us the power. Let us not forget the work which He's given us. Listen, this work is not by your might. It's not by mine. The ability to do what God has called His people to perform is completely wrapped up in Him. And our access to that ability is the same as it was for this father. It's simply to believe. The challenge for us tonight is really this. Trust God with your whole heart and do what He already wants to do in and through your life. Just trust Him to do what He's already doing. Right? Trust Him to do what God's already doing in your life instead of trying to flounder through the thing. Trust Him. Yeah, it is difficult. It is difficult. It's not a cakewalk, right? It is difficult. It's difficult to fully trust. We're afraid of it. It's difficult to fully believe. And that's when we say, Lord, I believe, but help me thou in mine unbelief. And that, my friends, is when God does with us what we cannot do without Him. That's how you perform an exorcism. So I did give it. Listen, God's plan, God has a plan to do so much more with us than we could imagine. I mean that. I mean it. I believe that. I believe it. I believe God wants to do more with us than what we're currently doing and what we could think to do. Sometimes with God, I found myself, I can remember a time I was in Sri Lanka. I was just newly there. I was trying to seek God so bad. Would you help me find some people? I couldn't find anybody that could speak English. And I was struggling with the language. I was just fighting. I said, what are we going to do? And I began, and I just felt directed to go. And we went to this place and passed out tracts every day. My daughter and I, we'd go. And every weekend, we'd go up there and pass out tracts in English. That says we're having, we rented a hall and said this Sunday we're going to come and we're going to meet there. And anybody that speaks English, we're going to come. And I passed somebody out. We got this huge hall and we got cake. We did get cake too. Man, that's funny. Yeah, anyway, it feels like I got an infatuation with cake. And that's not wrong. So I don't know, sorry. So we did. We had this thing. We had all that. We had a stack because we ordered this. We got enough cake for 100. We sliced 100 people, and we had this tea and all this thing. And we're sitting there. We're waiting, and a whole family comes up there. We're waiting and waiting and waiting, and nobody comes. Nobody comes. Nobody comes. So the hour came, and nobody came. And my family's all looking at me. They're all like, I don't even want to look at Daddy. You know what I mean? I don't even want to look because he's going to be crying or something over there. And you know, I just said, you know, we've tried to do what the Lord wants. If that's, you know, I'm just going to accept His will. You know, it's okay. It's about 15. We're kind of thinking, too, let's just give it a little time until we ate some cake. And what else are you going to do? You know? And so right about then, these two guys in suits and motorcycles came up, right? And you think, why would guys in motorcycles? Well, that's what we do in Asia. That's why I got a scooter, and I ride around in my suit. People are like, what's wrong with this guy? I don't know. It's just normal to me. You know, you see, that's just. And so they came up. I thought, oh, they're probably just coming to the hall to just do some business. They walked in, and they said, one of the guys began to speak to me in English. He said, oh, are you the Americans? And I said, yeah, come on in. I was so excited. I had him sit down there, and I started preaching to them. I mean, talking. I mean, I was kind of just talk preaching. You know what I mean? And just kind of going on with them. I was so excited. First Buddhist people would be really able to, they knew some English. I'm going, and it's exciting. And one of them looks at me, and he says, and I'm like a 0.3 or 4, you know what I mean? And he says, your English is a little difficult to understand. I'm like, oh, let me start over. You know, so as time went on, I sat down with some of these people, and one day it just struck me. I'm sitting there with this couple on my couch at my house, and I'm sharing the gospel with them, and I'm just telling, it just flooded me that I'm the first person in the history of their life to ever tell them about Jesus. And you know what I thought? This is what I came here for. But be honest, for a long time, I didn't think I was ever going to get this chance. And I thought, all of a sudden, when I quit trying to make my thing go, and I just said, God, you're going to have to do this thing if it's going to get done, I found myself, I thought, wow. I'm telling you, God wants to do with you so much more than you can ever imagine. It took a bit for the apostles to get it. It did. It took them a bit. They messed up. It took them a bit. But they did it. They figured it out, right? They began to trust the Lord. Peter, you know, denied the Lord, and a little bit later we find him preaching. They did it. So the question tonight is just this. We close. Will you believe God to do beyond what's already going on in your life? Listen, maybe tonight some things have already thought about in your mind that you've said. Something's brought to your mind of a thing as I'm talking about this thing in your life. And you say, God, maybe that's, I've really been believing you. I want to do so. I don't know what you normally do here, so I'm not trying to mess things up. But I want to have a time of invitation. I don't know if you make a habit of coming forward, what you do. And however you do, I'm not trying to make it weird or different for you that much, a little bit. But if God has spoken to your heart about something, and that tonight you need to say, God, I'm going to believe you with all the believing I have. I'm going to trust you. I want you to come to me. If you can't, kneel down here somewhere, sit down on this front pew and just say, God, and take just a moment to say, God,
I'm gonna try to do the. Can we have the piano begin to play? You got something there? Let's
all stand. And I'd like you to just listen. We're not gonna sing yet.
We're just gonna play. If God has spoken to your heart, I want you to deal with Him about whatever He has brought to your heart about. Listen, here's the question: will I believe Him for what God's laid on my heart? Let's pray. Father, I do pray that You would take this time now. Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts, Lord. Would You stir us, Lord? And maybe tonight already You have brought something to our minds. Lord, I know the issues that You brought to my heart and mind about the things that, Lord, You've used this in my life to look to You and really trust You. And Lord, really to realize I need to believe You fully. Best I can with everything. Lord, I pray tonight You'd help us speak to the hearts of Your people. And we'll thank You for it now in Jesus' name.